Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, August 25th, 2023, Section A, State and Local News. Mix It Up has event staffing services covered, by Ben Schaefer. Mix It Up, an event staffing company serving Midland, Odessa, was founded in 2015 and recently won the Gold Award in the Bar Services category of the Reporter Telegram's 2023 Best of Weddings contest. The company provides staffing services like bartenders, barbacks, servers, and more for public and private events. In 2015, founder and owner Angela Ludford founded Mix It Up to address a community need. There wasn't any event planners or businesses that did full event staffing, so we definitely saw a need, she said. I had a few friends working at a local bar, and I asked if I could get some side events going if they wouldn't mind bartending. Ludford's friends agreed to bartend at her events early on, so she created a website, had a promotional photo shoot, and Mix It Up was born. With nearly 10 years in the event staffing business in West Texas, Ludford said her company's experience sets them apart. We've made some connections with the corporate world. We handle the largest events, the largest concerts, and we still go and do private events, so we can do it all. I think that's why people prefer us, because we do have the experience and we have 100 members on staff, so we're always available and can do multiple events per day, Ludford said. The Permian Basin is a community that loves to host things, according to Ludford. Whether nonprofit events, dinner parties, or the like, Ludford's event staff is able to provide its service to a community that is highly engaged with one another and likes to socialize. Ludford said it was difficult to get the Mix It Up name out into the community in 2015. At the time, Ludford also lacked traditional training in the event business. Despite this, Mix It Up has continued to grow. Ludford also Mix It Up staff was booked for more than 400 events last year, and they will surpass that number this year by the end of this month. Ludford said she also enjoys promoting other small businesses and organizations in the community on her social media pages. Mix It Up partners with nonprofit organizations, gives them discounts on their event staff services, and promotes their causes on social media. One Last Hot Spell for Midland, by Stuart Doreen. The National Weather Service is showing high temperatures around 99 and 98 degrees this weekend. It remains to be seen if that will be the last time the 100-degree mark will be threatened in 2023, as the National Weather Service is showing high temperatures falling into the low to mid-90s next week. Midland is still on pace to set a new record for the warmest month, no matter the month, in the city's history, according to the National Weather Service. There is a 20% chance of showers Saturday and a 30% chance on Saturday night. Showers are likely Monday night, according to the National Weather Service. Thursday's report: Thursday's high, 95 degrees. Typical high for August 24th, 94 degrees. Thursday's low, 72 degrees. Typical low for August 24th, 71 degrees. Record high for August 24th was 103 degrees, set in 1936. Last 3 days: Tuesday, 93 degrees. Wednesday, 91 degrees. Thursday, 95 degrees. Next 3 days: Friday, 99 degrees, Saturday, 98 degrees, Sunday, 98 degrees. Humanitarian Parole Center of Texas Trial, by Juan Lozano. Obituaries and Death Notices. Dorothy Rudd Teague.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Odessa American for August 24th, 2023. Brain drain ebbs with Basin's evolution. Edwards, Perryman, Richards say more young folks staying here now. By Bob Campbell, August 24th, 2023. Getting and keeping the best and brightest is a challenge in every industry, and it's particularly acute in West Texas oil and gas business, where the brain drain with young people graduating from high school and staying gone could threaten long-term prosperity. That was once the case in the Permian Basin, which had gotten stodgy and unappealing, but conditions are much different now with the advent of new production methods, and energy experts say a lot more young talent is getting educated here and staying home, and lots more is being drawn in from around the nation and world. Odessa oil man Kirk Edwards, Waco economist Ray Perryman, and Permian Basin International Oil Show president Larry Richards say the region's future has never looked better. In previous decades, Midland and Odessa lost considerable young talent to bigger communities, as many left here for their higher education and never came back, Edwards said. That's now changing due to numerous reasons. One, the Permian Basin was considered a mature basin with no upside potential. Two, because of our limited college curriculums, kids seeking a degree in engineering or nursing or being a doctor had to go to bigger cities to get those advanced degrees, and bringing them back to West Texas was almost impossible. Third, because of the stagnation of the economy in previous decades, no new homes, apartments, or entertainment venues were being built, which made the area very unattractive for young graduates or couples to come back home, Edwards said. But my, oh my, how things have changed. The Permian Basin, with Midland and Odessa at the center, has now become the largest producing basin in the world with the incredible technology changes that have happened. Our junior colleges, UTPB and Texas Tech Health Sciences Center, have transformed into education hubs that are graduating just the kind of employees we desperately need. Nurses, engineers, and especially doctors are educated here, and now they can get jobs here and are staying here. Edwards said investors have taken notice and have built thousands of apartments and new hotels and restaurants that basin natives hadn't thought would ever come to this area. All of this helps us now to attract kids from around the state and country, and then, as we all know, once they get here and see what great communities we have and how they can make a very good living, they tend to stay, he said. And the future of our energy industry, especially in the Permian Basin, continues to look bright for many years to come. Perryman said the determining factor in a brain drain scenario is relative opportunities. Workers are generally mobile, and many are more than willing to move to areas with greater job opportunities, he said. This is particularly true for individuals with in-demand skill sets, education, and experience. In terms of sheer numbers, the state's largest population centers are where most jobs are created. Our most recent forecasts indicate that approximately 79% of net new jobs in the state over the next 5 years will be created in Texas's 7 major metropolitan areas, with almost half of them in the Dallas, Plano, Irving Metropolitan Division, and Houston, the Woodlands, Sugar Land, along with Austin, Round Rock, Georgetown, Fort Worth, Arlington, Grapevine, and San Antonio, New Braunfels, adding substantial numbers. This pattern is not expected to change for the foreseeable future. But Perryman said there are clearly industries and some types of jobs that draw workers to the basin. In fact, our current forecast anticipate that growth in the Permian Basin in percentage terms will exceed the remainder of the state, and job growth will outpace population growth, he said. There is obviously demand for petroleum engineers, geologists, and other highly skilled occupations associated with the oil and gas sector. Some of this work can be performed elsewhere and often is, but the local concentration is increasing, Skilled jobs in healthcare and education are also in demand, and there are other occupations with excellent compensation that are available in substantial numbers in the Permian Basin that cannot be performed elsewhere. For example, truck drivers working in the basin have significantly higher wages than in most areas, particularly when adjusted for the cost of living. When activity levels and therefore wages are high, Perryman said, the Permian Basin clearly draws in workers from a large area. Looking across a broader spectrum, talented young people from the basin have options all over the state, the nation, and indeed the world. Whether they remain in the Permian Basin is determined by a number of factors, but among the most important are the availability of jobs and the ability to obtain quality higher education and training. The Economist said supporting schools at all levels from kindergarten through university can help ensure that students have the ability to reach their goals. He said the University of Texas Permian Basin, Odessa College, Midland College, and other institutions in the region have greatly expanded programs to meet significant needs, which in turn provided incentives to remain here. The jobs of the future will require skills ranging from an ability to use technology effectively to a willingness to evolve with new ways of getting work done, Perryman said. Meeting the future workforce needs of the Permian Basin will require concerted efforts to ensure that the area provides the education, opportunities, and quality of life workers need. In this way, the region can both retain talented young people and give them a reason to return after furthering their education if that is their path. Those attributes will help attract others to the area to fill any gaps. Richards said smaller towns and cities across Texas have struggled with losing their best and brightest young people to markets in large cities and the Gulf Coast for the past 50 years. While it certainly still happens here, we have made huge progress in the Permian Basin to helping our local colleges and university become exceptional at teaching the skill sets that equate to high-paying local jobs right out of school, keeping that talent in our community, Richard said. It also hugely benefits our local companies and the community, and it's one of the key reasons that the Permian Basin International Oil Show donated $282,000 to local schools last year. He said many local industry companies and individuals have done the same and have made a telling difference. I was fortunate to hire a gentleman from the first graduating class of mechanical engineers at UTPB about a decade ago, Richard said. That young man is now engineering manager at my old company. While the young engineers and business students graduating locally are important, even more important are the welders, automation techs, truck drivers, and others graduating from new technical programs at Odessa and Midland colleges. I am asked almost weekly how companies can navigate recruiting and retaining good talent in the most active oil and gas basin in the world. My answer is to look to the local talent graduating from these programs. They're smart, talented, and know how to work. Richards said it is equally important that young local recruits already live in the area and won't get shell shock when they drive here for the first time. I had great success with multi-year summer internships, which often resulted in job offers at graduation to those who had proved they could show up every day, work hard, learn from their mistakes, and play well with others, he said. This approach is not only a key to retention, it also allows you to train a new employee in your preferred way to handle things from day one. Richard said it is also highly beneficial to bring in numerous talented young people hired by oil and gas service companies and transferred here from universities across the U.S. and regions across the globe. Their diverse backgrounds and education help drive innovation and new approaches, especially when coupled with the entrepreneurial spirit and work ethic that are unique to West Texas, he said.
Works of STEM, Returning to Children's Museum in Midland, August 22, 2023, by Kathy Chateau. Works of STEM classes for kids are returning to the Chevron Market Space at the Frieda Turner Durham Children's Museum on the campus of the Museum of the Southwest in Midland. The classes are sponsored by Chevron. The four upcoming works of STEM classes will occur on Wednesday, August 23rd, Towering Heights, Friday, August 25th, Towering Heights, Wednesday, August 30th, Magnetic Marvels, and Friday, September 1st, Magnetic Marvels, from 4 to 4:30 p.m. The classes are available to kids ages 7 plus free with admission and are open to the first 10 children to check in per the museum. Towering Heights will present the opportunity for kids to test their engineering skills in Lego Tower Building Challenge. From pillars to skyscrapers, we're always building up, per the museum on its website. For its part, Magnetic Marvels will share the secrets of one of the nature's invisible forces with attendees. The Frieda Turner Durham Children's Museum is located on the campus of the Museum of the Southwest at 1705 West Missouri Avenue in Midland. Learn more about the works of STEM classes. West Texas Warbirds, rebranded as Desert Hawks, as program preps for AFL. August 23rd, by Mike Aldax. The West Texas Warbirds have been rebranded as the Desert Hawks in preparation for the 2024 relaunch of the Arena League Football, AFL. In a video posted to social media, the Odessa-based team announced its rebrand as a new vision and mindset, but with the same love for the game. The Desert Hawks of Odessa are among 16 locations hosting AFL teams. The relaunch league announced in July. Other locations named as hosting AFL teams include Austin, Boise, Bakersfield, Chicago, Denver, St. Paul, Lake Charles, Cincinnati, Orlando, Salem, Oregon, Philadelphia, San Antonio, Tallahassee, Nashville, Everett, Washington. The program, formerly known as Warbirds, recently finished up its 2023 campaign with the National Arena League, finished 6th in the 7-team league with a 2-8 record. It was the Warbirds' lone season in the league. Previously, the program played in the Arena Football Association and had originally intended to join the Champions Indoor Football League before the pandemic prevented that opportunity. The newly rebranded Desert Hawks are the third indoor football program after the Odessa West Texas Roughnecks, 2004 to 2012, and the West Texas Wildcatters, 2014. To learn more about the Hawks, visit the program's website and follow them on Facebook. Public-private collaboration, working to enhance and restore the Pecos River watershed. February 27th, by staff writer. Protecting and conserving the environment is central to Priscilla Yelvingston's career. As environmental process advisor for Chevron's Mid-Continent business unit, Yelvington is tasked with ensuring her company protects the natural resources and biodiversity of the Permian Basin in compliance with regulatory standards, voluntary conservation agreements, and Chevron's core values. To Yelvington, an environmental geologist who joined Chevron after 16 years as an environmental consultant, that means supporting efforts in the Permian that don't always have a direct connection to Chevron's operations, what impacts the environment, even in remote areas far from city centers, impact us all, she notes. Also, to Yelvington, speaks with particular pride about her involvement with the Pecos Watershed Conservation Initiative, PWCI, an initiative collaboration of public agencies and energy companies with operators in the region that's supporting projects to improve habitats, address water scarcity, improve water quality, and engage local communities. The ongoing commitment to our industry, federal and state partners in the Trans-Pecos region will promote healthier grasslands, springs and rivers, and directly benefit the fish and wildlife that depend on this habitat. Formed in 2017, the PWCI is a partnership between the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, U.S. Bureau of Land Management, and six energy companies, Apache, ConocoPhillips, Chevron Occidental, Shell, and XTO Energy. The collaboration leverages their collective resources with the goals of restoring and sustaining healthy rivers, streams, and grasslands that provide important wildlife habitats in the Pecos River watershed. The partnership has bolstered significant gains in a relatively brief time span. As of May last year, the PWCI has invested $8 million into 43 projects. Recently funded projects include the Carlsbad Soil and Water Conservation District's removal of invasive salt cedar and Russian olive trees in the riparian area of Blue Springs and mesquite in adjacent upland areas, an effort to enhance soil, water, vegetation, and wildlife habitats, according to the PWCI. Other projects funded last year involved supporting the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation restoration of 6,000 to 9,000 acres of bush-invaded dry mixed prairie in northern Hudspeth County, Texas, Chavez Soil and Water Conservation District efforts to restore nearly 5,000 acres of grassland habitat in Chavez County, New Mexico, and Eastern New Mexico University's plans to survey areas along the Delaware River to get a better sense of how the project, the Rio Grande Cooter, a local fish species. As part of the PWCI, oil companies like Chevron partner to provide funding, expertise, and other support. Every year, the PWCI puts out a request for proposals on projects within the watershed. PWCI staff works with funding partners to evaluate the proposals before voting on which projects to fund. Yelvington, along with Keegan Boyer, fellow geologist and regulatory advisor, and Jonathan Harshman, public and government affairs advisor, make up Chevron's team that supports the PWCI. Chevron, like all public or private partners, get a vote on which projects to pursue. According to Boyer, the PCWI doesn't just fund projects, but also monitors and tracks their progress. They focus on and fund a lot of really good projects in the area, he said, from rangeland improvements to removing invasive species or repairing fences. Harshman, who serves in a public-facing role for Chevron, says the strength of the PWCI has been bringing veteran environmental experts like Yelvington and Boyer into the conversation. As part of their engagement with the PWCI, Yelvington and Boyer seek opportunities to be more personally involved in conservation efforts. It's just not that we want to put money towards things. We want to actively participate in them. It matters to us. We want to make sure we're leaving a positive impact. It's just not. The Pecos River spans 900 miles from northern New Mexico through the Chihuahuan Desert grassland of southeastern New Mexico and west Texas. Development, invasive species, and water scarcity have impacted habitats, reducing native grasslands to a fraction of what they once were, putting pressure on remaining wildlife. To help reverse the trend, the PWCI aims to support efforts that strengthen existing habitats, protect remaining populations of native fish and other aquatic species unique to the Chihuahuan Desert, improve the management and functions of native grasslands, address water quality and scarcity concerns for wildlife and agricultural uses, and identify opportunities to expand species where they have been lost. While the PWCI is in an early stages, the initiative continues to demonstrate the multiplying efforts of public-private partnerships in conservation, according to Jeff Trendahl, Executive Director and CEO of National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. The ongoing commitment of our industry, federal and state partners in the Trans-Pecos region, will promote healthier grasslands, springs, and rivers, and directly benefit the fish and wildlife that depends on these habitats, Tranhill said in a statement last year. According to Harshman, the next round of PWCI grant awards will be announced in April. This time it's going to be mostly focused on upland grasses, Harshman said. The Chevron team hopes the PWCI will obtain more energy businesses operating in the Permian as funding partners, as well as entities beyond the industry, which would enable more expansive restoration efforts. Midland Memorial Hospital Program to Train Students with Developmental Disabilities, August 9th, by Mike Aldax. Midland Memorial Hospital, MMH, today will implement a transition to work program that will assist local students ages 18 to 22 with developmental disabilities to obtain job skills that make them marketable in the workforce. The program kicks off at MMH with 7 interns from the Midland ISD. Those interns will complete a 1-year employment preparation program. MMH wants to assist these interns in finding employment and becoming successful in their future endeavors, said Stephen Bowerman, President and Chief Executive Officer. After completion of the program, we hope they've gained useful knowledge and feel at home so they can join our MMH family as employees. This new program is a partnership involving Midland Memorial Hospital Research Project, Midland ISD, PermaCare, Texas Workforce Solutions, and Empowering Hands. Hello, friends. This is Julie, reading from the Permian Proud. Midland County Fair runs through August 27th. August 27th, 2023. The 14th Annual Midland County Fair runs August 24th through August 27th at the Horseshoe Arena. The event kicks off tonight with outdoor activities that include a carnival, petting zoo, vendors, food truck, and live entertainment. The bundle of fun costs $5 and runs from 5 to 10 p.m. The carnival opens till midnight from Thursday through Saturday. The fair opening day occurs Friday, running from 3 to 10 p.m. Cost is $5 from 3 to 5 p.m. and $10 from 5 to 10 p.m. Featuring the kids' party at 6 p.m. and the Chase Quinn Memorial Bull Ride at 7 p.m. Also at 7 p.m. is a tribute to the 80s, a night of nostalgia featuring SA Lights, a Journey tribute band, and Pooh Live Crew. Tickets for the feature are $15. The fair's second day on Saturday runs from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. with an Arthur Circle from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Hope Fest at 1 p.m. A pet parade at 11 a.m. A hot dog eating competition at noon, the pie baking contest finals at 1, the chili cook-off finals at 4, and the Chase Quinn Memorial Bull Ride at 7. The fair's third and final day, which runs noon through 8 p.m., will be the Tejano Sunday, which will include a wild and woolly lamb and goat show, along with the Charita VIP experience at 3 p.m. and the Charita Extravaganza at 4 p.m. The Midland County Horse Show Pavilion is located at 2514 Arena Trail in Midland. Midland College Radioactive Technology Program reopens August 21, 2023 by Mike Aldax. The Midland College Radiologic Technology Program has been resurrected after 13 years in response to a pressing need for skilled radiologic technology in the region, according to the Midland Health, which partners with MC on the initiative. Today, the class of 11 students will embark on the program, participating in classroom and laboratory sessions at the radiology department of the F. Murray Hall Outpatient Center, formerly West Campus. Students will also fulfill their clinical requirements at Midland Memorial Hospital, Diagnostic Imaging Association, and West Texas Orthopedics. Midland Health said it currently has opening for 20 full-time and part-time radiologic technologist positions, which underscores the immediate need for the skill. We are extremely excited to reintroduce the Midland College Radiologic Technology Program, said Kelly Wright, Director of Radiology at Midland Health. The program revival underscores our commitment to bridging the gap between educational institutions and the ever-evolving needs of the medical field. The initiative aligns with our mission of leading healthcare for Greater Midland. ECHS graduate returns to teach at school that inspired her growth, August 22nd. Lacey Morrow says she was so awkwardly shy while growing up, her family sent her to attend Early College High School, ECHS, at Midland College. My mother knew that I would probably be miserable in a large high school, she said. Morrow went on to blossom at ECHS, graduating in 2016, according to an interesting new report via Midland College. She overcame her extreme shyness while taking advantage of the opportunity at ECHS to simultaneously earn her high school diploma and an associate degree, all at no cost to her family. Now, Morrow, carrying two master's degrees, has returned to her roots as ninth grade English teacher at ECHS, a Midland ISD school. She's teaching this in the same classroom where her ninth grade teacher, Miss Miller, told her, in order to write well, you must read well. I tell my students those exact same words, she says. For just over a year, Morrow has been an adjunct English professor at Midland College. She also recently engaged and is a new homeowner in Midland. I love sharing my passion for writing and literature with students, and I try to let all my students know that they are important. Read Midland College's full report on Morrow's inspiring story. Carlsbad dedicates new birding area at Six Mile Dam, August 21st, by staff writer. Members of the Carlsbad community recently gathered to dedicate the new Steve West birding area at Six Mile Dam. The area along the Pecos River, a haven for migratory birds, received a number of improvements, including four covered picnic tables on concrete slabs, trash receptacles, a nature trail, a new road, and more rockeries for the area birds, according to the Carlsbad mayor, Dale Janway. In addition to birding, the area is also great for fishing, kayaking, and picnicking, the mayor added. The project was a public-private partnership, as portions of the area are owned by the city, Bureau of Land Management, and private landowners. Future plans for the area including adding a kayak launch ramp, Janaway said. The new birding area is named after Steve West, a longtime educator and bird enthusiast who contributed a great deal to his community, said Janaway. West attended the dedication ceremony. For more information, read Mayor Janaway's latest report on the dedication. $3.2 million in grants announced for Pecos Watershed Conservation Initiative projects, August 16th, by Mike Aldax. The National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, NFWF, recently announced $3.2 million in grants will be awarded this year as part of the seventh annual round of funding for the Pecos Watershed Conservation Initiative. The initiative is a collaboration of public agencies and energy companies that is supporting projects to improve habitats, access water scarcity, improve water quality, and engage local communities. Grants awarded this year will support efforts to restore and protect habitats and species in the Pecos watershed and adjacent areas of New Mexico and Texas, according to the NFWF. Program priorities include implementing habitat restoration strategies and increasing baseline species information for species of interest within specific aquatic and grassland focal areas, the NFWF said. Major funding for this round is provided by the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, U.S. Department of Agriculture and Natural Resource Conservation Service, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and five corporate partners, Apache Corporation, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Occidental, and XTO Energy, an ExxonMobil subsidiary. As of May last year, the PWCI has invested $8 million into the 43 projects. Recent projects include the Carlsbad Soil and Water Conservation District, removal of invasive species in the riparian area of Blue Springs, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation's restoration of 6,000 to 9,000 acres of brush invaded by mixed prairie in northern Hudspeth County. To learn more about the Pecos Watershed Conservation Initiative, check out our profile on initiative Also visit the initiative main website for more information about the program and the grant application process.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, August 19th. Future energy sources will rely on Permian-produced water. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Permian Basin oil and natural gas resources have powered the region, the state, the nation, and the world for a century. Turns out the water produced alongside crude and natural gas can play a critical role in helping the world move to low carbon, zero carbon, and alternative energy sources. Decarbonization and power were the focus of a session at this week's Produced Water Society Permian Basin Summit at the Horseshoe. There are efforts to develop hydrogen as an energy source, but hydrogen production requires large amounts of water, noted Rick McCurdy, Vice President, Innovation and Sustainability with Select Water Solutions. Producing gray or blue hydrogen would require 4 to 11.6 gallons of water per kilogram of hydrogen. Green hydrogen would require 16 to 25 gallons per kilogram, he said. A plant with a production capacity of 50 metric tons of blue hydrogen would require 11,000 to 28,000 barrels of water per day, while a plant with a capacity of 100 metric tons would require double that amount. Permian Basin produced water, he said, could replace reverse osmosis in the process. According to McCurdy, the government wants to build 8 regional hydrogen hubs in a drive to have 20 to 25% of all vehicles utilizing hydrogen. To meet that goal, he said, would require 4.4 million to 12 million barrels of water for gray or blue hydrogen production and double that for green hydrogen production. Clearly, the multinational producers are moving down the decarbonization path, investing heavily in carbon capture and sequestration technology, said Mark Patton, president of Hydrozonics. ExxonMobil sees it as a $4 trillion industry by 2050, while Occidental formed Oxy Low Carbon Ventures and is buying Carbon Engineering, its partner in the first direct air capture plant under construction in Ector County. Chevron is working on carbon capture plants in Australia and California. Capturing carbon uses the same amine scrubbers already used in gas-producing plants, Patton noted. There is even the possibility that carbon could be sequestered in produced water and injected into disposal wells. Quote, there are 10,000 Class II disposal wells in the Permian Basin, not including water floods. There may be a simple modification or no modification of the permit. The Railroad Commission seems to welcome the idea, asking that operators share their data. Class II wells could be a significant resource for carbon sequestration, he said. Demand for lithium to power cell phones, pad computers, and even electric vehicles has been soaring, viewed as a green answer. But, said John Burba, Chief Executive Officer and Chairman of International Battery Metals, current extraction processes are not green, requiring copious amounts of fresh water and leaving behind mountains of solid waste and salts. Utilizing produced water could be a path to ethically sourcing lithium, Burba told the gathering, because it eliminates the use of fresh water. The brines could be re-injected into disposal wells, and it would require minimal chemical inputs and has a minimal footprint. Quote, Extreme lithium extraction is critical. Chemical inputs must be minimal, and recovery and recycling of fresh water is absolutely critical, he said. His company is developing advanced DLE technology, a modular mobile plant with technology based on crystallizing material that can attract lithium from the brine water, taking it from 1,000 parts per million of lithium to less than 1 part per million. There are no chemical inputs, and 98% of the water is recovered, he said. He compared the recent announcement by Livent of a major lithium plant in Argentina that is expected to cost over $1 billion and take 6 to 7 years to build. His plant, he said, took 10 months to build at Shaw Industries in Lake Charles, Louisiana, was assembled in 10 days by 8 people, moved and reassembled in 7 days by 3 people, all at a fraction of Livent's $1 billion price tag. Summit examines water treatment technologies. The story was written by Mela McEwen, oil editor. Technology has been rapidly and significantly evolving in the field of water management, expanding to help address rising concerns about seismicity and even the path to beneficial reuse of produced water. Quote, the optimal reuse scenario is to create fresh water and dispose of the concentrated brine, Mark Kidder with ALL Consulting said. The eyes of the world are in the Permian Basin produced water and all types of technology used here. Every lesson learned here is far-reaching, end quote. Indeed, conference organizers reported there was an online audience watching from Saudi Arabia and Brazil, among other nations. Even the federal government is joining the effort with its $5 million produced water optimization initiative, Project Pareto. Marcus Droven, technical director of Project Pareto, told those attending this week's Produced Water Society Permian Basin Summit that the three-year project has evolved from developing a software framework that focused on water management in the first year to assistance with water treatment decisions in the second year to helping operators and water midstream companies realize beneficial reuse initiatives, how to make them happen, and scale them for commercial applications. Quote, it won't turn water into wine. It won't solve regulatory issues, Droven said. It can provide system analysis. It can contemplate lots of alternative options to disposal. It can help plan for beneficial reuse at scale and illustrate realistic success, identify and quantify beneficial reuse opportunities. We plan to share more in 6 months, end quote. The biggest risk to continued growth of Permian Basin oil and natural gas production is seismicity, Kidder told the gathering. With the output of produced water expected to grow alongside oil and natural gas, he said additional disposal wells and additional injection capacity will be needed. Expansion means increased seismicity is inevitable, Kidder cautioned, calling for a similar expansion of seismic monitoring systems. He also urged his listeners to follow the example of the hydraulic fracturing crews he said are leading in microseismic monitoring, able to detect pressure changes during a fracturing operation and adjust pressures accordingly. Quote, focus on high-risk areas and expand outward, he advised. This allows for proactive water management to divert injection volumes before a large seismic event occurs. This is an opportunity for industry, consortiums, service providers, legislators to be proactive and mitigate the biggest risk to the Permian Basin future, end quote. The region's inland location limits disposal options to to injection or crystallization, he said, and the high amount of total dissolved solids found in produced water limit treatment options. Of 13 beneficial reuse projects Tetra Tech is working on, 11 are in the Permian Basin, Michael Dunkel told the conference. He said projects started after a 4-magnitude earthquake jolted the region and accelerated after a 5.4-magnitude event in November 2022, followed by a second in the Midland area in December 2022. Quote, companies are moving forward, but it's still early, he said. Creating options to injection is the goal. If we create water for an arid area like West Texas, that's a good thing. It positively impacts the industry and company brand. End quote. Dawit Dagna, water chemistry advisor with Chevron, reported on a test that applied completions chemicals upstream of the frack pad. Results indicated that applying drag-reducing agents improved pipeline flow by reducing friction and resistance, reducing the time it took to get to the design rate, environmental footprint, and lowered the cost of chemicals, fuels, and carbon dioxide emissions. Continuous online monitoring helps companies better understand the effects of chemicals, optimize retention time and other process steps, and protect equipment, Dwayne Jimenez of Intelligent Water Solutions said. Quote, it lets you make smart decisions for cost reductions, end quote. He added his technology can also help minimize the amount of crude that is sent to saltwater disposal wells along with produced water. On display at the conference was Evoqua's dissolved air flotation unit, which removes suspended solids from produced water. In the Permian Basin, that's primarily iron, said Michael Stoltz with Evoqua. For Timothy Bussier with Orion Water Solutions, quote, it's cradle-to-grave treatment. It's being in better communication through the field, through the process, work more as a team on the production and completion side, cut costs. For the most part, everyone wants to work as a team, end quote. Select Water recycles 8.2 million barrels for Endeavor. The story was written by Mila McEwen, oil editor. Select Water Solutions recently set a record for recycling produced water in the Midland Basin. Select performed the job on behalf of Midland-based Endeavor Energy Resources at a project in Martin County. The four-fleet Endeavor project achieved recycling and delivery rates up to 300,000 barrels per day. In total, more than 8.2 million barrels of produced water were recycled at Select's Big Spring Recycling System, located in Howard County, and transported to Endeavor's pad site during the month-long project. The produced water was sourced from six regional operators within a 10-mile radius of the Big Spring system and sustainably delivered to Endeavor's pad site using electric pumps along an underground 24-inch pipeline from Howard County to Martin County. Select has built its infrastructure to serve such large-scale jobs sustainably, utilizing 100% recycled water and electric pumps for last-mile distribution. Quote, we believe we're seeing the future of water today, Jason Gennaro, Select's Executive Vice President, Infrastructure, told a reporter Telegram by email. Continuing the quote, Permian Basin operators can require 30,000 barrels a day or more of recycled water for their jobs. To do that scale of project safely and reliably requires a significant infrastructure investment and expertise. Select has made this capability a focus. End quote. Select Chairman President and Chief Executive Officer John Schmitz, said in a statement announcing the project, quote, "Sustainable recycling and transportation of produced water is an integral piece of the future of water stewardship in the Midland Basin. We are proud to work with Endeavor to achieve one of the largest and most technically challenging recycling projects ever performed in the Permian Basin," end quote. Bechtel, 5-point, test desalination technology. The story was written by Mellon McEwen, oil editor. As attendees presented at the Produced Water Conference Permian Basin Summit discussed the path to beneficial reuse of produced water outside the oil industry, several technical and economic challenges were mentioned. One of the most significant challenges is desalination of the produced water, and as the conference got underway, two companies announced a pilot program to test desalination technology. Bechtel Energy and 5-point Energy announced an agreement that will allow 5-point to utilize Bechtel's proprietary low-energy ejector desalination system, LEEDS, or LEEDS technology, to provide produced water desalination services to customers across the Permian Basin. This is proprietary water desalination technology that has never been used before and will be piloted in the Permian Basin. The agreement also establishes an exclusive relationship between Bechtel and 5-point for the marketing, development, and sale of plants utilizing the LEEDS technology for produced water in the Permian Basin. As part of the agreement, Deep Blue Holdings, a portfolio company of 5-point, will operate Bechtel's pilot unit at a saltwater disposal well near Midland to support the development of the technology and demonstrate its reliability. Quote, "Bechtel places a core focus on protecting people and the environment, and we're proud to help our customers find new and innovative ways to meet their sustainability goals," Paul Marsden, president of Bechtel, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, "LEEDS is part of Bechtel's strategic approach to creating a cleaner world by tackling water scarcity at the source," end quote. David Capobianco, chief executive officer of 5-point Energy, said in a release announcing the agreement, quote, "We are excited to partner with Bechtel on this compelling and innovative solution to desalinate produced water across the Permian Basin. 5-point and our dedicated platforms have always been pioneers in addressing the produced water needs of blue-chip clients and reducing reliance on freshwater sources for drilling and completion activities. Today's announcement is yet another milestone in our journey to treat and preserve water in an environmentally efficient and economical manner," end quote. In that same release, Scott Mitchell, Chief Executive Officer of Deep Blue Holdings, commented, quote, "Deep Blue has worked for years to advance the preservation of freshwater resources in energy. The LEEDS pilot test marks a crucial next step to further that effort," end quote. The current LEEDS model can put to use in unconventional and conventional oil fields, heavy oil, and the power industry. The technology treats produced water to a quality suitable for reintroduction into the local ecosystem or for other commercial applications. With the volume of produced water expected to continue to grow over the coming years, finding an economically viable solution is critical for fit-for-purpose use of produced water. The LEEDS technology is designed to treat water using less energy than traditional thermal evaporation processes and requires no external sources of heat. That means it can be effectively deployed in areas that do not have available thermal energy, such as steam or waste heat, and provides an affordable alternative to disposal. The pilot testing program with Deep Blue is expected to conclude in early 2024. Letter of Authority accelerates Encore treatment testing plans. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. For several years, Marvin Nash, senior advisor with Encore Green Environmental Technology and Leasing, has attended local water conferences and heard a lot of ifs with regard to treating produced water to the point it could be used outside the oil industry. Quote, "This conference is different because people aren't saying, if we do this, they're saying, we're going to do this," he said on the sidelines of the Produced Water Society's Permian Basin Summit this week. This year, he has also come armed with a letter of authority from the Railroad Commission, which he called a game changer for the industry. The letter allows for pilot projects to test Encore Green's Nomad water treatment technology for treating and cleaning produced water in ground applications. Encore acquired the technology from XRI Fountain Quail 2 years ago. Quote, "It's opened a path to documentation," Nash said. "Encore can now document how much water from the technology was used, where it was sourced, where it was used, how the soil accepted the water. The unit can clean 2,500 barrels of produced water a day, yielding 2,000 barrels a day for various applications." Nash, who has been active in the water space in Wyoming for decades, has said discussions about beneficial reuse of produced water should include the agriculture community. Quote, "People say to me, you only grow cotton 90 days of the year," he recounted. "Cotton is grown only 90 days because of water restrictions. If you have a water source, you can grow cotton and wheat. You can grow cotton, wheat, and soybeans, or you can let the land lie fallow for a season and build up the soil," end quote.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.